Welcome to Mission Minded, the podcast where we explore outside-the-box thinking in carrying out Christ's Great Commission. On today's episode, we are joined by Umal, a Ugandan medical missionary. Now here's your host, Jim Tingler.
Hi, and welcome back to the iTech Podcast. You're joining us here at iTech Studios. My name is Jim, and today our guest is Umal, or is it Umar?
Both.
Okay.
Whatever way you want to call it.
Okay. There's a story behind the two names, but maybe for another time. So you're from Uganda.
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name is Umar, Senkubuge Umar. I am a medical clinician by profession, and I am from Africa, a country called Uganda.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you're involved in a lot of things over there, and medical, I mean, that's your training, but you're also, you've been trained in dentistry. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I am purely medical, but then I trained in dentistry through first 2015 through Empower, the Empower approach, gentleman called Dr. Bill and then Linda, and then I started practicing dentistry and I fell in love, you know, with serving people with dentistry. And then I again retrained with iTech in Kenya. They were visiting Africa, doing a training in Kenya. So I was invited by Still Bill, did that and got more skills, got even more efficient. And it's been pulling teeth out thereafter.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so the clinic that you work in, that is it in a remote area, or can you describe the clinic?
Well, it's a church-based clinic. It's out about four hours away from Kampala, a place called Iganga, deep in the village. It's Christian, so it's church-based and it's Christian, and we're doing like primary health care, you know, basic primary health care prevention and treatment. And then now we incorporated the dentistry into it. And so we're serving about 15,000 people. The committee is 15,000 people, and we are the only medical clinic. So it's a big deal that we're incorporating dentistry into part of the services that we're giving, which actually now is turning out to be the biggest service that we're giving.
Wow.
Because, you know, people can have alternatives to other medical conditions. They'll go to a drug shop and buy medicines, but they will not go to a drug shop and pull teeth out.
Yeah.
So we're kind of a big deal on pulling teeth out there.
Wow. So how many dentists are in your village?
Well, there was me alone. It was just me at the clinic. And then I introduced two of my friends, you know, from church, Franklin and Timothy. And then they went on, but they're not from the community. They're from communities beyond. So they do dentistry, not from the 15,000 community that I live in. They do dentistry from communities beyond. They kind of go out into the jungles and then do dentistry. So now there's three serving about, you know, 600,000 people or so.
Wow.
It's a big number if you think about it.
So your town, obviously you're the dentist.
Yeah.
And before you, where did people go?
Well, before me, before I went for this training, we used to see patients, but not treat them. We used to refer them.
Okay.
About 15 kilometers away into the next big town, the Iganga town.
How long would it take to travel there?
I mean, people out there don't drive very much. They have bicycles, and then some do not have bicycles, so they walk. They walk on foot. So walking 15 minutes with a toothache is kind of hard. So it'll take about them 30 or 40 minutes, or even an hour. Now, what some would do, they would give up. They would not go, and then they would just like suffer with all this pain, and then it goes on to abscesses and infections, and like it used to give them loads and loads of trouble. So it's a blessing that we are there to serve them, and I mean, to the best that we can. We can't do everything, but at least we try.
Right. And so this is a church-based clinic that, I mean, you're trained as a medical professional, and so you've been able to add the dental training. And so you mentioned Empower and iTech, but I mean, not everybody knows what that means. I mean, this was a week training, right? Can you tell me a little bit about what that was? And
It was scary when I was invited on email to do the first Empower training, because I have a medical background, you know? So I was thinking, how are we going to do dental training in like 10 days?
Yeah.
That's like impossible.
Yeah.
So I was very anxious, but I was also eager to see how it turns out. And then we turned up for classes. We're about 30 people that turned up for the training. And then we did classes, and then for like about 4 days, 5 days, and then the fifth day, we were like pulling teeth out. So it was hard, I'm telling you, so hard. But then once we got into it, it became interesting and it became easy because we had the will to do it. And then we did it. Like, I graduated, and then out of the 30, we're like only two people that graduated.
Okay.
So the training was that intense. Like, right. You cannot graduate till you've convinced the trainers that you're capable of providing care. Right. That was the Empower. And then with iTech, it was easier because I'd already been trained with Empower. So with iTech, it was more of a refresher training.
Right.
And then, you know, my role was to also encourage other guys. That's why, like, there was more graduates that graduated on this other trip than the faster trip.
Mm.
So it is possible. It was possible, but it was hard.
Right.
It was hard, I should tell you that. Yeah. But we did it. Yeah. At least two of us graduated from the first one out of the 30. So, yeah.
Oftentimes when, you know, people think of short-term missions, you know, medical missions specifically, they think of, okay, let's go and set up a clinic. And for a week, we'll try to see as many patients as possible. But this was a different type of trip. It was something where somebody came and trained, you know, yourself. And so what's maybe the difference that you've seen in something like that? Maybe the impact that it could have?
I mean, Jim, I'll tell you, I have done thousands of short-term medical trips. People have come and I've helped them do clinics and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because you do clinics. We've seen 1,000 people on a day, you know, because there's so many people that are seeing patients. And then they leave after a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what stays? The problem stays.
Mm-hmm.
So then you get to struggle with that, like when they leave, because people are used to having free things and like, hey, we've been coming here for like, and the thing is, once the first day starts, the word spreads.
Mm-hmm.
Word spreads out there. There's a free clinic. So people that are sick, very sick will come. People that are non-sick will come. So it's like it's a whole mess of things. But when you come and train, you're training and impacting the locals to keep giving the service when you're gone.
Mm.
Because the problem stays here. So they are the ones that are going to face the problem and then try to solve it in the best way that you've taught them how to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice when you train rather than when you come and do short-term clinics, because you're not only impacting, you kind of have a legacy that stays on. Like, you have someone that is continuing giving the service when you leave. So it's kind of, there's continuity training, which is what I would rather prefer, rather than coming and do short-term trips. Short-term trips are great, but they don't do much. Like, they live with you. They live when you board the plane to go back home, off you go with all your expertise. And there's no impact whatsoever, because you only treat 1,000 out of 36 billion people. So there's not that impact. But when you train someone that is here, they like give the service when you leave. And that's great, because I was a product of that. And I've pulled thousands of teeth after Empower and iTech left, you know. So Empower and iTech is still operating because I have my licenses up in my clinic that says Empower and iTech. So their legacy still goes on. Like, it's iTech pulling teeth. The instruments I have are iTech instruments. The instruments I have are Empower instruments. The skills I have are those guys. So the service still goes on. So I prefer training to short-term trips.
Yeah. And in some ways, what you described is the clinics are treating a symptom and you're trying to solve the problem. So coming in a week, there are problems that they can help out with, but the long-term solution, you know, is going to be on the ground. Somebody like yourself that's there in the community.
Right. And I mean, if it's an emergency, if like kind of an emergency response, that's great, because we don't need training then. Then we need to work. We need to save lives. There's an outbreak. We need to fix it. That's great.
Yeah.
But if it's for impact, if the purpose is for impact, which we don't have so many emergencies now back home, at least where I come from, then you gotta just train, because with training, there's efficiency and there's impact. Then you come back and do refresher trainings. That's even great, because then you kind of refresh these people and make them better. You polish them to make them better to offer the service. So that's really brilliant and that's great.
So the clinic that you're working in, you said it's through the church, And so do you just provide free service into the community?
That was the ideal. That was like what we used to do before. We used to offer a service because people know churches, and churches are very generous and Christ-like, so they give out free stuff. But that's not sustainable, you know? And with dentistry, you got like, you have to sterilize your instrument. So you have to keep refilling your, like, your propane gases that you use for sterilization. You have to refill your sundries and your reusables. You know, so like there's demand. If you're serving, I mean, 200 people a month, then you gotta like keep up. So what we do is we charge a small fee. You know, we charge 5,000 shillings, Ugandan shillings, which is like a dollar and a half, you know, to keep refilling. So every patient pays that. We're not after making money, but we want to make sure that, you know, we are working when someone else comes with a need. So we charge them a service, which now actually my superiors have incorporated back into the clinic as well. So we charge a small consultation fee still. If you come, for you to be seen by a doctor. I mean, people are really, really poor, so they don't have it. So we're not up to ripping up people, but we want them to own the service. And when people, I think the best thing is when people refer to the clinic as our clinic. So I say, no, we have a clinic. That is our clinic that we'll go to. The reason they do that now is because they contribute a fee. So they own the service, and they just do not come because they want to come to a clinic. They only come when they're sick. So it's great. We have learned from the dentistry, and the dentist has taught us that if you guys charge something, then it's sustainable. So we don't have to be worried of if donors can't fund, then we close doors. And then what happens?
Right.
We have something, a little that we are saving, you know, to keep serving the communities going forward.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we're grateful.
So when this clinic that you obviously runs through the church, and you're meeting needs. It's obvious there's needs in that community.
There is.
So meeting these needs is obviously helped with the church be seen as a place of healing. What type of doors, or in your experience, have you seen open for being able to share the gospel?
I mean, we have taken the gospel behind dentistry. You know, we have used our service, even before the dentistry, we were like using medicine to bring the gospel to people, because we serve the district that we are in. Iganga is the most Muslim densely populated district in Uganda. Okay? So we knew what we're up to, but you're not just going to come and bring the gospel. People will not receive it. So what we do is we come with a service behind it. And we've seen the church grow and grow. It has opened up more branches within the district because people have gotten to see the love that we give them. When you come to a place like a clinic, you come desperate. You come sick and you're suffering. And then we treat you and you feel better. And then when you feel better, we tell you, guess what? There's actually someone that makes your soul feels better. Like there's someone that will take away the pain of the sin. And then we've introduced people to Christ. The church has grown, and dentistry even better, because then it is tangible. This tooth feels bad. When you eat sugars, one of my trainers, John Spin, actually introduced this. And he's like, sin is like sweet. It feels good when you sin. It feels good. You enjoy it. So do all these sugars. When it builds up on your teeth, it gives you like dental caries, and then they give you cavities. And now it starts to haunt you. So does sin. So when you come to me with haunt, you come to me with pain, I take your tooth out. I've taken your pain away. You feel better. You feel fresh. Even better, I don't have the power to take your sin away. I don't even have that. But I know someone that does. And when you accept them, you feel as fresh as you feel when I take your tooth out. And that's Jesus Christ. So you preach to them, you relate the dentistry to the gospel. And it makes sense because they have been feeling pain and they don't feel pain. And you're giving them assurance that when they take Christ in, they'll feel way, way much better. And you know what? Some people have accepted it. Some people have not. It's not my position to force them. I have done my part. I've preached to them. And we've seen so many people come to Christ through dentistry, and the churches have grown. And people come into church and people are praising the Lord. So it's good stuff happening.
Hey, amen. So How old are you?
Oh, 30 years of age.
Okay.
Pretty old.
Yeah, right. You seem like you're wise beyond your years. How did you get to this place? I mean, did you grow up planning to be a a medical professional, or tell me a little bit about how you got to this point.
No, I actually, I was born in a Muslim. My father was Muslim, mm-hmm. and then my mother was Christian. Mm-hmm. So there was an intermarriage there. My father died when I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. My father had about four wives. Mm-hmm. And so my father had about 30 of us. I have like 30 step siblings. Some of them I don't even know up to now. Wow. But my mother, you know, was pushed out and, you know, kind of rejected because she was Christian from a Muslim family. Mm-hmm. And so we went up to the streets. Mm-hmm. And then my mother used to like clean churches, and then we used to stay out on the streets. We used to eat on the streets. But her faith was so strong that even while on the streets, she used to give back to church. Mm. There's actually this one thing that I remember, because I started working when I was a little, like 7 years old. Mm. Used to fetch water, used to collect garbage for people so I could get money. And I used to bring my money back to my mother. Mm. And my mother would give a percentage of that money back to church. And that pissed me off. Like, I'm working hard for this money, and you're giving to church that has all this money. Mm. The one thing she told me was that we gotta be grateful. Mm. Like, we give back to God because God has provided. Like, it's tithe. Mm. And so growing and seeing my mother do all that for church, even when we didn't have, like, you know, pushed me close to knowing what my mother's faith was about. And my mother's faith, Christianity, was about love, sharing love, and then serving, and then getting to, you know, help people. You think you're in need, there's someone else out that is in need. Mm. So that is how I got to know about Christ. And then, you know, my mother didn't preach the thing to me, but her actions did. Mm. Her actions of love, her actions of faith. We used to walk about, you know, 20 kilometers to go to church, the church that we went to, on a daily basis. And I hated it because we went to church with people that had money, that had cars, that were fed well. And we used to clean for them. Mm. And I felt, you know, I felt hatred in me that why us? And then after cleaning, and then church goes on, and then we have to walk back home. Mm. I hated it. Mm. But my mother kept telling us that such is service and such is love. Mm. And so from a little age, I learned that, you know, you have to use what you have. And we didn't have much, but we had the strength to walk and clean church. So that was service. Mm. And through then, I saw my mother serve, and then God coming through us. We went to school when my mother didn't have anything. You know, there are people that came to our rescue. So it kind of worked out. There are people that, you know, gave us scholarships to go to school. There are people that, you know, allowed us and gave us small houses in their backyards to sleep in. So we had a roof above us. And so my mother kept telling us, you see, because we served God, God has provided us with a roof. Small as it is, you know, we have a roof, but we're not on the streets.
Yeah.
You know, so I got into that kind of service. And from then, I loved to service and to give back to people. Mm. So even when I got the gifts, you know, the privilege of going through school and then through dentistry, you know, I still keep giving back and giving back to communities and people that need, because I know what it feels like to be desperate. I know what it feels like to like. So that's how I got into Christianity and then into service.
Wow. It's quite the story.
In a short, that's how short I could cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is your mom still alive?
Alive and kicking.
Yeah?
She's as beautiful as a 60-year-old would be.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So how could people be praying for you in the work that you're doing?
By serving. Like, people should get out there and then serve, because there's need out there. To be honest, there's people that need help. There's people that need your skill. It doesn't matter what you can do. Mm. It doesn't matter what profession you are in. Mm-hmm. You can spread the love. I have seen people on training trips that are not medical, they're not dentists, but they come and help collect garbage around. So they help the dentist do that.
Sure.
I have seen people help with sterilization. I've seen people help pray with people. I've seen people love and then giving hugs. Mm-hmm. That is a big deal, because most of these people are like, feel they're not loved. They don't have anything. They're useless. Mm-hmm. And having someone like you that could give them a hug and talk to them, even in a language they will not understand, there's a language called love that they understand.
Yeah.
So if there's someone out there that is looking for what to do, is like, you have everything that you need.
Yeah.
I mean, you can support missionary trips by giving, you can support trainings by giving, you can be a part of them, you can pray for them.
Right.
You gotta do something. Like, use the gift of life to do something. Love your neighbor. It starts right there. Love your family. Love your neighbor.
Right.
You know, love God. Like, you know, get out there and then love. It doesn't matter what you do, what acts of love you do. If you're a musician, love, sing. If you're privileged to have something, share it with someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if If you can pray for some, if you can preach the gospel, go there and preach the gospel. If you can hug, give someone a hug. Mm. If you can do dentistry, if you can do, there's so much that is out there that we do. We give an excuse of, oh, I can't do anything. Oh, I don't know how to do this. Yes, you do. Like love.
Well, one thing that I know a lot of people would love to do is to pray for you in the work that you're doing. How can people specifically pray for you?
We do medical trips. You know, mm-hmm. we do medical trips every now and then. I mean, giving into the clinics, you know, there's so much. We would be grateful if someone gives something. New Life Clinics is out there doing good stuff. Mm-hmm. People can pray for us for favor. We work in Muslim communities. Mm-hmm. Now, the communities we serve are peaceful. They're Muslim, but they're peaceful. So we pray for favor still, because mm-hmm. some are like not receptive. Like some will not receive mm-hmm. the gospel. But we pray for knowledge. Mm-hmm. We pray for favor. We pray for grace. And, you know, we pray for more trainings, mm-hmm. you know, because it's through trainings. People come and do trainings like these that we get to reach out to people, and then we get to be effective and efficient. So, yeah, we're open for support in whatever way, spiritual support, financial support. Come down to us. Let's work together. Yeah. Come down to Uganda and let's do more trips and let's do more trainings.
Yeah.
Let's do more trainings because people need trainings.
Hey, awesome. Yeah. And so is there information out there about your clinic that people could find?
We live in a pretty rural community, okay. So we don't have the privilege of internet once in a while.
Yeah, right.
But New Life Clinic is not online,
okay.
But you know, people can give through people that are online. We have friends and partners that are online, Jango okay. Medical Missions, Quick Care Clinics. We have all these other partners that we go to and tell them, hey, Quick Care Clinics, would you love to come and do trainings? Would you love to come and do, you know, we are going to do trainings into slums. Would you want to come and be part of it? Mm. And sometimes we tell you we don't have a budget because you need medicines to come out and do these things, and right. we don't have a budget. So if you reach out to them and then give to them, you're directly giving to us. You know, we receive through them because right. we have partnerships with them. And then, you know, like things like iTech, if someone provides to iTech, someone gives to iTech, iTech will be able to come down there and then do more trainings. Mm-hmm. So you're indirectly giving to us, you know, right. by giving to partners and giving yeah. to people that we work with, because we are not online and you people are good, big online.
Yeah.
We kind of
most people are.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. So there's also something big in your life that you're trying to, a big mountain you're trying to climb right now.
So many mountains. Yeah. I don't know what exactly you're looking for, but we have so many.
Well, there's one with the lady.
Oh yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm working on that. God brought someone into my life. I'm still looking for the confidence and the right words to ask.
Yeah.
Culture's different. Mm-hmm. You know, but I am, hopefully, it's coming soon. It's coming together soon. I'm excited.
I won't press you too hard. We were talking about it earlier, so.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it. Yeah. I have my piggy penny saving up for a ring and all that. And soon it will mount up. I pray it mounts up to something, you know.
So I read a book one time. It talks about he who finds a wife finds a good thing, so. Yeah,
I found a girlfriend yet. She's about to translate into like a wife. I have to do that. The work though.
Yeah. So, well, people,
working on that.
We'll encourage people to pray for you in that.
So, yeah, I need that.
Yeah.
I really need that.
The courage. Well, thank you so much, Umar, for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
And the work that you do. And thank you for joining us in this podcast. And we look forward to you joining us again.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Mission Minded. For more information on today's topic and show notes, please visit our website, itechusa.org. Mission Minded Podcast is produced by iTech. The goal of this podcast is to inspire conversations about Great Commission participation. The views, organizations, and individuals represented, interviewed, and discussed on the podcast do not necessarily represent an official position or formal partnerships with iTech.